Grace, mercy, and peace be unto all of you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for my message this morning is from the epistle reading in St. Paul's letter to the church at Rome, where he writes, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." You may have heard that word ungodly a couple of times in our reading this morning and tend to think of an unbelieving world, of a world that is lost when we identify the ungodly. Ungodly is something that we may not associate ourselves with. Since we go to church, we do devotions, we pray, we interact with this world, and we may even teach and preach to this world. And we might consider that the rest of the world is what is ungodly. People that don't believe at all in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I had the opportunity to spend quite a bit of time with these folks that we might consider to be ungodly, or at least ungodly in the Christian sense of our triune God. In the Middle East, of course, it's predominantly Muslim or Islamic. In Islam, they may act and call themselves godly and try to prove it through their five times a day that they pray and the way that they dress. But it's all in response to a God that is not of Scripture. Maybe this is why in Islam and many other religions of the world, much of the emphasis in living is placed on self-sacrifice and works that prove one's faith. To prove there is a purpose and reason behind that faith, one must do something to show that you are a faithful person, other than the expressed grace found only in the Bible. In Scripture. Regardless of the reasoning or practice of Islam, we as Christians can still confirm that Christ died for all ungodly people. But wait, are we in a different class of people? A class that is privileged any more than they are because of their faith? St. Paul sort of argues the opposite in his letter to the church at Rome. We are indeed sinners, just as they are. We have fallen from perfection in the same way, beginning with that apple in the garden. We have inherited the same original sin that everyone else on this earth has inherited. And we, even as Christians, have proliferated this sin just as everyone else has. Let's take a close look at this text this morning from Romans. Whom does our text identify as the ungodly? It might shock you. It might make you and I feel a little bit uncomfortable. Because the answer is indeed, it is us. Hear it again. For while we're still weak. Note the we. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And again, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Keep in mind, this letter, St. Paul was writing to Christians in the Church of Rome. He was saying this to believers in God who are just like us. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for us. That's the only conclusion that we can draw, that we are indeed counted and ranked among the ungodly. How does that make you feel? For me, it makes me feel repentant. Repentance is recognizing that we are indeed the ungodly people for whom Christ has died, that it was our sins for which he went to the cross to pay the price. Remember the words from verses 3 and 4 from our sermon hymn today that takes us from law to gospel. Verse 3, from hearts depraved to evil prone, flow thoughts and deeds of sin alone. God's image lost, the darkened soul seeks not nor finds its heavenly goal. And then to verse 4, the gospel. But Christ, the second Adam, came to bear our sin and woe and shame, to be our life, our light, our way, our only hope, our only stay. Powerful words from this hymn, because this is indeed no light or laughing matter. If it takes the death of the Son of God, if it takes that to rescue us, ungodly people, from sin, death, and the devil, we can indeed see how serious this problem of sin is. Not only does St. Paul refer to you and me as ungodly, but he even goes as far as calling us enemies before God. We are weak, as St. Paul identifies. We are incapable of helping ourselves fulfill all righteousness, which God identifies as being necessary for salvation. What dire need of fulfillment of righteousness that we have. And thank God that it does not fall on us. Instead, it falls on Christ, the sinless one, the most perfectly godly one of all. Christ, the suffering servant of the Lord. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ died for the ungodly. Think about that for a second. Take it in. At this point in time in our country where we have now seen what human relations have come to, we know that relations with our God are quite different. Just this past week, we saw how political hatred can lead to one man picking up a firearm and attempting to murder members of Congress. Members of the opposite political persuasion, simply because they believed in something different than what this individual believed. Hatred continues to be spewed across the internet on Facebook and other social media and forums between people that simply disagree about policy. Now, I'm not saying that policy doesn't matter and that political discussions are not important, but maybe after spending some time in a combat zone, I've affirmed and raised my appreciation for life itself. My appreciation for family and friends, for all the blessings that God has especially given us in this country. I've affirmed that nothing will ever rise to the importance, to the point that my fellow man should be killed because we simply disagree. In fact, Jesus did the exact opposite. He went to the cross to die for his enemies. The very people that disagreed with him, that would have debated him in the same or slightly different manner, the people that blasphemed his name, spit on him, mocked him, worked contrary to the love that he has for us. Talk about the epitome of turning the other cheek. St. Paul reminds us today, not using these words, but still reminding us that Republican or Democrat, libertarian or populist, independent or apolitical, Muslim or Christian, we are all still sinners and in need of a Savior. You know, there are two confirmed and absolute things that unite all of us in humanity. Number one, the fact that we are all sinners in the flesh. This unites us in our struggle against death and the devil. No matter where we live or what we do, we know that we are all still sinners. And number two, and more importantly, we know, as St. Paul identifies today and reminds us, that Christ died for all of the ungodly. He didn't just die for Christians because we are the ones that have faith. No, he died for everyone. And St. Paul says that this free gift is not like the trespass, like the sin that entered into the world through Adam. Grace is much more. The grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. It's abundant grace. Now, it is indeed through faith that we receive this abundant grace. We inherit it as ours. We believe it to be true that Christ really does love us that much. That while we were still sinners, he died for us to fulfill all righteousness. And it is indeed through this faith in Christ where the wheat is separated from the chaff, where we as Christians are separated from others. Christ died for us, that is, on our behalf. And the benefit is that now our sins are truly forgiven. The price has been paid with the holy precious blood of the Son of God, a cost great enough to cover the sins of the whole world, of all the ungodly everywhere, no matter how bad they may be. For us, the benefit is that we have now been justified by his blood. We are declared not guilty. We are declared righteous because Christ has taken that punishment for us. He has taken our sins, and his righteousness has been transferred to our account and paid in full. Has there ever been a love like this? Love divine, all loves excelling. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. When you view the cross before you, you see the unfathomable love of God for sinners, for ungodly people. His amazing love for you and his amazing love for me. Christ did indeed die for you and for me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise.